You matter. Your life has great value. You have a future because somebody died for you, and his name is Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Somebody Died For You podcast. My name is Corey Peters. Several years ago, I believe God, through his Holy Spirit, called me to intentionally impact darkness in my community with the love and light of Jesus Christ. This podcast will share stories of my encounters over the last several years as I attempt to step out of my comfort zone and follow God into high-need areas. I'm a husband, father, teacher, and a coach who loves Jesus. I believe he still speaks to us through his Holy Spirit, just like he did in the Bible. My challenge is, how do I live that out? And I believe he wanted to challenge me with the high cost of Jesus' shed blood on the cross. What was I doing with it? At the beginning and end of this podcast, I'll give you a number to call. That number will go to a voicemail box for prayer requests. My hope is that we can develop a community within this podcast that will pray for each other and be an example to others that God still answers prayer today. I hope you know that. And if you don't, that's okay. Stay tuned. That number is 319-435-1758. Please help me get this started. We need people to call in. So it'll go immediately to a message of me giving you details of how to leave your prayer request. We're better together. We believe that God is just waiting to positively impact our communities with the same love that propelled him to send Jesus over 2,000 years ago. Here's today's story. I knocked on an apartment with three former students. A woman with a 2-year-old beautiful girl answered the door. I told her that we're in your neighborhood praying and giving out groceries. I asked if they could use either or both. And sometimes people will turn us down for prayer or groceries or both. And we love them just the same. Tell them to have a nice night. But this woman turned around and she looked at her husband across the room. He was sitting in his chair and he really wasn't happy that we were there. That was obvious. He looked at us with an extremely irritated look at our interruption. He shook his head and he glared at me. He said, "We are fine," and kind of shooed us away with his hand sarcastically. That didn't feel too good. He sat there shaking his head back and forth in disgust while his wife slowly closed the door. We turned around and we started to go back down the hallway, back down the stairs. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, "Stop. Go back." And when I say I hear the Holy Spirit, I don't usually hear an audible voice. I will hear it in a deeper place in my ear. The only way I can describe it is near my heart. If you read in Luke 24, Jesus has rose from the dead and he's revealing himself to the disciples. They were eating together and the disciples' eyes were opened and they knew it was Jesus. Then Jesus vanished. They looked at each other, I believe in verse 32, and said how their hearts were burning when Jesus was talking to them. My heart doesn't usually burn, although it has on a couple occasions. Maybe I'll get to share those with you too. But I almost always know it is his voice. When I have a question whether it is or not, I can pray about it. I can also ask other people who I respect that hear from him also, run it by them. Other times he'll give me a picture. He's done that many times. Or a nudge, kind of a prompt to do a job for him that's normally I wouldn't do on my own. Most people that I think hear his voice, I think do a better job than me. You know, they hear it and do it. My guess, that's kind of not really me. And that's maybe why I believe the Lord's leading me to share my stories. Because I like to keep a hold of my comfort zone for some reason. I start arguing internally. I call it my internal battle. In my mind, I have this argument like, what if I look stupid? What if it doesn't work? What are they going to think? What if I'm going to freak them out? What if it isn't true? Anyway, you get the picture. Well, back to the story. I heard the Holy Spirit say loudly to my heart, "Go back." The internal battle started. Are you kidding me? Did you see how he looked at me? Who knows what he'll do if I interrupt them again? Maybe he has a gun. Maybe they'll call the police. I called our team back to the stairs. And I said, "Hey, could you guys pray? I'm going to knock there again. I need to talk to him again." So I knocked on the door. His wife opened up the door real slow. It looked like she was afraid of what his reaction would be towards us or her. Who knows? She slid to the side and revealed an even more irritated husband. I poked my head around her and put my hand in the air. I said, "Hey, sorry to bother you again, but I'd just like to say a couple of things to you, if that's okay. I feel the need to say a few quick things to you." He just glared at me for a few moments, but to my utter shock, he said, "I guess so." Couldn't believe it. I walked in the apartment and asked if I could sit down by him. I started sharing my testimony with him. I started about how I was reading the Bible, one verse a day as a 12-year-old kid, to see if I believed in God. I shared about how that started changing me from the inside because I saw a Jesus who held his arms wide for the lost and broken like me. He wasn't up in heaven with a furrowed brow, pointing his finger in disgust like I thought he was. If Jesus could hug a leper, heal a blind man, and stick up for a woman about to be stoned, then maybe he could love me. I told him about how God turned me around from the inside out. I asked him if he thought he would go to heaven if he died. He told me that everyone has to live with the choices that they make in life. I pulled a new Fellowship of Christian Athletes Bible out, or FCA Bible, and I started sharing the gospel with him. In the back of that Bible, there's a section called More Than Winning. To my surprise, he looked interested, and he was listening. When I finished sharing the gospel with him, I asked him if he'd like to accept Jesus as his Savior. And to my utter surprise, he said yes. He couldn't wait to say yes. I never shove anything at people, and it's up to them whether or not they say yes, but I also feel the need to tell them how to accept Jesus. I don't just want to be a good guy offering a prayer or a bag of groceries or even a basketball. People need to know, but they don't need to be shoved at or boxed into a corner to say a prayer. He started tearing up and telling us how both he and his wife just lost their jobs recently. He has a broken ankle, and he's starting to get addicted to the pain medication. And he told me that he didn't know how close to the edge of the cliff he really was until we started talking. He said that he has been struggling with suicidal thoughts, and he said that he's ready to start a new life. Our entire group gathered around him to pray. We gave him that Bible. It was a beautiful moment. Many were in tears. We hugged. We looked over, and I saw their beautiful daughter just playing, and she had diapers on. And I asked him, "Hey, do you need any diapers?" We had one box and one size, but we had some. The mom told us the size, and she said that they just put their last diaper on their baby, and they didn't know where they're going to come up with more diapers. We just happened to have the exact size they needed. His wife started laughing with tears in her eyes, and she said, "You don't know how much we needed this right now." And we all hugged each other. And please pray for my friend Tony and his family. That was an unbelievable night. God has many people just waiting for you to talk to and give them the same truth that Jesus lives and he's alive and he loves them. And Jesus said, when you know the truth, it'll set you free. We saw a small glimpse of that tonight. But like I said earlier, God needs you to tell people too. But if maybe you're a person who's never accepted Jesus, I'd like to share that with you, how to do that right now. I'd love to lead you in a prayer. Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. He didn't give you a list of to-dos and you had to go to church every weekend, although I go to church, love churches. There's a lot of great ones out there. But I think people get too wrapped up in the things that you do when it's him and accepting his sacrifice. So if you've never accepted Jesus, I'd love to pray with you right now. Just pray with me. Dear Father, forgive me for all my sins. Forgive me for doing things my way. I do believe that Jesus died for me on the cross, and I believe he rose from the dead for me. God, I believe in you, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, please teach and guide me into more knowledge of God's word in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I believe that you are a new creation in Jesus Christ. And I would also love to pray with you personally. Feel free to message me. Well, we've come to the end of another podcast. Please call in and leave a prayer request at 319-435-1758. Please help us spread the word about this new podcast by liking, sharing on Facebook, Instagram, or writing a positive review on iTunes or any of the other podcast platforms. We'll see you next time, and never forget, you matter. Your life is worth something, and you have a great future because somebody died for you, and his name is Jesus Christ.
Hi, this is Jake, and I would like prayer for the city of Waterloo, specifically over in the Irving neighborhood. I just feel like God has a vision to clean up the neighborhood. I remember, I think it was Chicago in the early 1900s, their crime went down so much that the police didn't have anything to do except go around and sing songs. And that's what I would like to have happen in Waterloo. That's my prayer request.